Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time.
All I need is one mic.
You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time.
About that time.
It's your girl POC. Welcome back to another episode of Revive. It's me, your girl, POC. You know what time it is. Yes, it's another winning Wednesday here on Revive. I'm hyped, so I know y'all out there hyped. We got a big show today. I'm extremely excited about today's show. Today's show, man, we got so many great guests for you guys. We are getting to the root today. Today, we are getting to the root. Today's show is entitled Getting to the Root. Yes, we are honoring today's show on behalf of the youth because Youth Skills Day is coming up this Saturday, July 15th. So make sure you guys out there mentoring and putting them in, just moving them in the right direction. We need the younger generation to understand that people care. That's what we're missing. We're missing the love. You know what I mean? We need to tell the generation that's next, that's up and coming, that's going to be that chosen one. They're going to be the chosen few. And we need to let them know that we love them. We love them because we need them. We definitely need them. And we need each other. And that's what we're trying to do here on Revive. We're trying to unify each and every day because we need us to come together as people collective. Let's get it. Also, give us a call, 215-490-9832. Once again, today is a winning Wednesday. We are dropping some free Revive gear, so you definitely want to give us a call. Yo, we got Tab Money coming up today with the first edition of Tab Money Habits. I know you guys do not want to miss that. We are going to have Tab Money coming up on the Revive platform. Yo, True Heart. You know, True Heart's in the building with me as always, as well as Harmony the Goddess, holding it down each and every Wednesday and each and every Sunday. Yo, True Heart, how you feel about Tab coming on the show? How you feel about that?
I love Tab Money. I can't wait because every time she's on, whether she's calling in or she's a guest, she just drops so many gems. And Russell Brand is in full effect. So
I've been trying to tell
them.
I've been trying to tell them. They didn't know. All summer 17, we are out here. Russell Brand, we are taking over. And now we're taking over the airwaves. You dig? We are out here. So make sure you guys tune into Tab Money today here on Revive. She'll be coming on Revive the second and fourth Wednesday of each month. She'll be coming on the second and fourth Wednesday of each month. So definitely stay tuned. She'll be hitting the airwaves around 8:30 tonight. Yo, True Heart, we got Mike the Motivator today. Your fave. We got Mike the Motivator today. I hope he come on today and motivate me in the right direction because I got an event this weekend. Let's talk about it. Revive is throwing their very first event this weekend. Rhythm and Reasonings. I want to know who's coming to the event this weekend. If you're coming to the event this weekend, give me a call, 215-490-9832. Make sure you guys RSVP right now. Go RSVP right now on Eventbrite. Come show me some love. Definitely come show me some love. We got some big things that's going to happen at this Rhythm and Reasoning event, you know, for the first Revive Bash. We're throwing the hottest summer jam, definitely. So make sure you guys come down, especially if you're in the DMV area. Come show some love, definitely. We're trying to have a conversation, an organic conversation. It's a conversation bash. I ain't gonna call it no party. It ain't no party. It's a conversation bash. We're hosting the hottest event this summer. We want to have a conversation with you guys. We want to know what you are thinking out there. Always, you know, I'm trying to know. You know, I'm trying to know what's in your mind. I always ask you, what is your perspective? You know what I mean? Because it's about that time. Hey, you got the rhymes, definitely. So we want to know what is in your mind. Come to this conversation party. If you're in the DMV, definitely Rhythm and Reasonings. We want to know what you guys are thinking. We want to know your opinions. Especially, it's so much going on out here. Did you guys hear about D-Ray? He been sued. And Netta, she being sued too. Yeah, the officer in Baton Rouge, after the Alton Sterling case that happened, and you know after they murdered him, the whole riot that happened the next day, and you know D-Ray got locked up and all that stuff. He's actually suing them as well, but he's suing them for he's trying to get his money back for he's calling an injustice arrest. So he's trying to get his money back for the bail that was put up for him to get out. So that's what he's suing them. But the officer in Baton Rouge is suing them for $65,000 for damages.
You already got away with murder.
Let's talk about it. For damages. Yeah. So there, you know, officer in Dallas too was sued. What is his name? Micah Johnson, the one who went on the rampage down in Dallas right after the Alton Sterling situation as well. And he shot up, what, 5 police? This is the one that they bombed with the robot and all that stuff. Yeah. So, officer is suing for, I think it was $500,000. I think that officer was suing Black Lives Matter. It was he's trying to sue Louis Farrakhan and Al Sharpton because Al Sharpton, National Action Network, they're the ones who constructed that protest that went down there in Dallas. So he's trying to sue them for, I don't quote me, but I really, really do think it is $500,000. And I think that is crazy. And in my mind, I'm thinking, how are you suing Black Lives Matter? It's a hashtag. What? It's a phrase. It's a poster board. It's a feeling. It's an emotion. What is actually Black Lives Matter? It's just the only thing that I can say. Yeah, it's a movement. That's not how. So how can you sue them? I don't think they never ever said that it was a leader in the group. People just said these people were leaders, such as D-Ray and Netta. They never really claim themselves to be the leader of Black Lives Matter, because if you come to Philly, you would hear Asa Khalif's name. You know what I'm saying? So who are you actually suing? Are you suing the movement? And who? And in the movement, where are you getting these checks from? Because Black Lives Matter only collects money from donations and things like that. So where is this money coming from? So if the people are not donating to Black Lives Matter, how are you going to get this settlement of $65,000? $500,000. I think that's really crazy. So yeah, definitely. So this is what we want to talk about. I don't want to get that deep, you know, this weekend, but that just stemmed a whole nother conversation. But yeah, so we want to know what's on your mind. We definitely want to know what's on your mind each and every day. Make sure you guys tune into the timeline as well. Make sure you follow us on Revive_PLC on both Facebook and Twitter. We stay live tweeting. We are live tweeting the entire show of Revive each and every time we get on these airwaves. So if you're not able to listen, you can definitely check us out on social media, because you know you guys got them Twitter fingers. So definitely tune in to our timeline on Revive_PLC on both Facebook and Twitter. Yes. So True, the question of the day is, how are we getting to the root? Because today's show is entitled Getting to the Root. So how are we getting to the root? What is one way that you would suggest that we get to the root?
I think one way that we need to get to the root and continue to tap into our youth would be mentoring and mentorships, because I honestly think that our youth, especially, I work with them day in and day out, and sometimes they can be misguided, or sometimes they allow their peers to influence them, and that's where the peer pressure, and then they're influenced by social media and different things like that. But if they just had a positive social connection, if they just had a mentor, if you want to do hair, well, let me connect you to this hairstylist. If you want to be a radio host, let me connect you to POC. If you want to, you know, become a lawyer, let me introduce you to not only a master dan at family court, but let me introduce you to a judge as well, so you know that all the possibilities are endless. So I think that that's one key component that can just assist in getting to the root, just having those mentors and having someone to not only look up to, but tell your life plans to. And if they change, they change. But at least you have that positive network and you start building it now.
And the key essential thing to doing that, you know what I mean? You cannot do that if you don't do this. This is my advice of getting to the root. Listening. Simply listening. You know how many times I had something on my mind, something on my chest, something that I really just wanted to express, and I had no one to talk to? That's how mental health starts, because you have no one to talk to, so you bottle all that emotion and you bottle all that anger and the depression, all that just comes all up in you, and now it's starting to spread like a cancer, and now you're just this angry person, and now you're seen as this child who needs, you know, Ritalin because you got ADHD and all this other crap that they're trying to, you know, put to our youth now. That's not it. If we just take a second and listen to our kids, listen to the youth, listen to our next door neighbors' kids, anyone, you will find out so, you will honestly learn so much. You will really learn so much, and you will love what you're learning because it will be something so new to you, because kids think so much. You know, they have that imagination because they don't, their innocence is protected as a child. It should be, well, at least it should be. So kids have this imagination, and they can bring so much to the forefront to the point where you start asking questions to them. You're like, yo, so how you find that out? How you learn that? So it's breaking that generation gap and just completely listening. Be quiet and listen, and stop telling to shut up. Yo, I was told to shut up 1,000 times. And that's probably why I cannot stop talking now, because now I'm like, no, I got something to say. So I think that's what it is. If we stop telling them to shut up and give, and we actually give them an outlet to speak, communicate, and just us listening and actually, you know, talking back to them and with a civilized answer, not just saying anything because they're a child, you know, stay in a child's place, that old saying that we always hear. But no, getting to the root is listening. My advice, my opinion. So if you got another, you know, advice that you want to give, if you got some opinions that you want to share, definitely call us right now. 215-490-9832. We do have our first guest coming up as well right after this commercial break. Her name is Tyler Frome. I'm really, really excited. She is on an organization called Yes. She is the creator and founder of an organization called Yes Philly. I know she's going to drop some gems today. Once again, her business is called Yes Philly. Stop distracting me. You're all over here trying to do sign language. I'm like, what are you doing? Nah, but right after this commercial break, we are coming out with our very first guest. Make sure you guys stay tuned. You know what time it is. It's me, your girl, POC.
I am an alternative high school student.
An alternative high school student.
An alternative high school student.
I'm an alternative high school student, but I'm cool.
But I'm not dumb.
But I'm well educated.
But I'm not a dropout.
But I never gave up.
I didn't quit.
But I am ambitious.
I set goals and I reach them.
I face challenges.
I face challenges and I'm motivated to get my diploma.
I face challenges, stepped up, and became more focused in school.
I re-engaged myself in school.
And I will graduate.
I made mistakes.
I made mistakes.
And I'm correcting them by getting my high school diploma.
But I'm graduating August 2016.
I'm an alternative high school student from Yes Philly. But we're not like other schools. It's the difference between us and other schools. We come together as a community. We here to make things better, make things brighter for our future and other kids. And I'm just one of them kids that's trying to make it better for y'all as well.
It's been a problem throughout the ages. People think the issue is lessened, but they are simply choosing to turn a blind eye to the children that are wasting away, choosing not to see the crisis in their midst that is anything but improving. Youth homelessness in the United States is currently at an all-time high. 1 in 30 American children live in shelters, on the street, or bounce between foster homes. And though the percent of youth without a home has steadily increased over the past 30 years, funding for the organizations that help those children is decreasing. One of the consequences that has arisen because of these budget cuts is turning away youth from shelters due to overcrowding and lack of resources. Imagine a child brave enough to ask for help and being forced to turn him back on the streets. That child, now forced to fend for himself, might go on to develop chronic health problems or feel the effects of malnutrition, and legislators want to chalk it up to an issue of money. Homeless children, due to their living conditions, are much more likely to experience risks to their physical health than housed children. For example, in homeless children, the infectious disease rates are higher, the likelihood of contracting a sexually transmitted disease is increased, and chronic health problems are common. Malnutrition is another widespread issue among the homeless youth, and they are 6 times more likely to have stunted growth and 7 times more likely to contract anemia because of it. To bring the issues full circle, the scarcity of food can further impact their lives, even after the period of homelessness is over, because it can lead to food insecurities that may remain for years. So, not only does the homeless child suffer from physical strain, but psychological upheaval as well. These children who experience horrors beyond belief are at great risk for psychological trauma, learning impairments, and cognitive delay. For example, unaccompanied youth are more likely to suffer from mental disorders such as disruptive behavior disorders, social phobia, and major depression, than those with a stable living environment due to their children's lack of access to resources, increased lead exposure, and the detrimental effects of chronic stress. We as humans must not overlook the rising number of American youth that suffer due to their lack of stable housing and should allocate funding and resources to help those in need. The rising number of children who have experienced the horrors of homelessness and who have felt its psychological effects deserve a chance to improve their lives and their well-being.
Live on timeforanawakening.com. Make sure you spread the word, spread the message. timeforanawakening.com/revive. Once again, that is timeforanawakening.com/revive. Or you can go directly to Tune In and just download the app, or go directly to the website and just search Time for an Awakening. And you hear me, your girl PLC, live on these airwaves from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. But we do have our first guest coming up once again. Make sure you guys subscribe to the Revive newsletter as well. Just scroll down right on timeforanawakening.com/revive and just click subscribe to the Revive newsletter today, right now. But Trueheart, who do we have coming on the Revive show today?
On the Revive platform this evening, we have Taylor Frome. Taylor is the founder and executive director of Youth Empowerment Services, also known as Yes Philly. Yes Philly is a Philly-based nonprofit with the mission of developing opportunities for Philly youth who drop out of our high schools. Yes Philly started in 2000 and had several different types of programs, from community centers to a GED program to our current alternative high school, where students can finish their high school education and get a regular high school diploma. This is different from other alternative schools because the focus is meeting the students where they are and helping them transition into higher ed or employment. Most schools do the latter, but don't necessarily try to meet them where they are. Before starting Yes Philly, Ms. Frome has started the Youth Build Philadelphia Charter School, which is still providing a combination of job training and high school education. We have Ms. Frome on the Revive platform this evening, and I'll pass it back over to POC.
Awesome. Yo, Trueheart, you actually work in, youth services. So before we do get Ms. Frome on the line, tell us a little bit about how you know Yes Philly, because I heard it was something really big in Philly. That's why I was like, yo, we have to get them on the show today. So what do you know about Yes Philly?
I'm super, super, super excited to have Ms. Frome on the Revive platform. I'm literally jumping out of my skin right now. I work for a CUA community umbrella agency under DHS, for those of you who do not know. And I was a life skills coach. So I work with youth and serve youth predominantly under DHS care, under the CUA's care. And we work closely with Yes, and even just going to different things in the city, you'll find out a lot of information about Yes Philly. But being in social services and, you know, recommending people at Youth Build has such a great reputation, and Yes Philly does as well. So I'm super excited for this interview.
Hello. Hello?
Yes, how are you doing, Ms. Fromm? How are you doing
today? This is Taylor, yes.
How are you today?
I'm good. I'm great.
Thank
you. How are
you? I'm excited to have you on the Revive platform today.
So, what can I do for you?
Okay. So, tell us a little bit about what you do in Yes, Philly.
Well, I think the main thing that we do is do a lot of outreach to young people that have dropped out of school and then create a place where they can feel welcomed and get the skills they need, catch up on their high school education, get the counseling they need, situate themselves so that they're ready when they graduate from high school to either get a job or go into school or come back to us to get continued help. So I think we're dealing with young people who have, for one reason or another, left school, and a lot of them, I heard you talking before about homelessness, a lot of them had homelessness issues or family issues or were parents themselves or had a lot of responsibilities or were really frustrated at school before and weren't getting what they weren't learning at school. So all sorts of different students come in, and then they are all put in a group together where they become a solid peer group and get the skills they need. Hello?
Yes, I'm listening. So what made you start this? What made you actually start Yes Philly? Because you're the CEO and founder of it. So what makes you actually start Yes Philly? It's an amazing program.
Well, you know, I guess I live in Philly, and I was looking at the fact when I started Youth Build back in the 90s, there was a 50% dropout rate in the Philadelphia public schools. And when I started Yes Philly, it was still like 45%. I think it's gone down to 40, but that's still an amazing number of young people that we're losing that are not having a chance to become part of the positive community that we need in Philly. And I guess it looked like something that I could work on and make a difference. There are lots of things that I would like, you know, to be better in the world, but this was one place where I, as a former teacher and as somebody who knew a lot of young people, felt like I could make a difference.
Definitely. So when it comes to actually being a part of Yes Philly, do you have to be recommended by the city, or do you guys go out and look for kids who, you know, have been in the system a lot? How do you actually get kids to attend your school?
So we have a kind of an open door policy in terms of enrollment. So anybody can come in any Monday through Friday between like 10 in the morning and 4 in the afternoon. Ask for an application, fill out an application, and then we have 5 times during the year when we enroll new students, so it doesn't take very long. Our next cycle will start in September, so right now we're taking applications for students who want to come. You know, you can come in any day, and so a lot of the students that we get have just heard about us from word of mouth and are, you know, they've hit the point where they want to do something. They're tired of hanging out, being on the streets, being at home, or just struggling, and they're ready to finish high school and get on with their lives. So a lot of young people come in on their own, or family members and friends recommend them. We also, there's a place at the school district called the Reengagement Center that students can go down to the school district headquarters, and if they ask for the Reengagement Center, they can go in. And there's a few other alternative high schools around, too, so that the Reengagement Center will send anyone who's interested to the school that they think is the right fit for them. So both things are going, but you don't need it to be sent by somebody. Anybody who's between the ages of 16 and 21, hasn't finished high school, lives in Philly, and wants to finish their education can come in.
That's awesome, and especially the fact that you guys go all the way up to 21, that's amazing. Do you guys follow the regular curriculum that, you know, public schools or private schools will follow? Do you guys create your own curriculum? How does that go?
We are doing the same courses that the school district does. So if you dropped out of high school in the 10th grade and you never did biology or chemistry and you need history credits, you would get biology and chemistry and history at Yes Philly. But we have a different way of teaching, and I think that we're one of the more like kind of relaxed but also student-centered and hands-on schools around. So it's not like one of the larger schools. We're also small. We only have 100 students at a time. So it's the peer group is really positive. There's a lot, you know, so everybody comes to Philly and makes friends, and I think that's different from a lot of the other schools in the city. And staff really care, and staff make sure that you're learning.
So how do you guys stay funded? Are you guys funded through the city? Do you guys get meals? Do they get, are they provided meals as well? How do you guys stay funded?
So we're funded. We have a contract with the School District of Philadelphia that provides most of our funding. And so students who are enrolled get a TransPass just like they would in any other high school. And we have school lunches. They're not great. I'm not going to tell you that there's wonderful food, but we have like some breakfast food and some lunch food, and we do the best we can to add to that to make it work for students. But we also just, you know, we're conscious of the fact that some of our students are not getting food anywhere else. So we do what we can. We also get some other funding so that we can provide media arts and other kinds of training that are really valuable to students. Last year, we were able to do driver's ed for anybody who wanted it.
That's awesome. That's really awesome. That is actually really awesome. Do you guys provide like college bound training as well to provide them to go to the next level?
We do what we can on that. I mean, and we do have ways to get people into SAT prep, and we do college applications with everybody. And but, you know, I'm going to be straight with you. We're looking for more resources, and we're always looking for support. We're, you know, able to do all of the basics, and then everything else, I'm continually trying to find fundraising and other support. Do fundraising and find other supports and partnerships to provide. So we have some really great partners. We partner with the Philadelphia Youth Network does some college readiness, and Jeff's Human Services does some job readiness and college readiness. And so, you know, we do everything we can to connect. I mean, we're based in a really central location in Lower North Philly, so we're close to Community College, Temple University, not that far from the school district. And so our students are able to get to a lot of other programs.
So what is one of the biggest struggles that you guys may face over there at Yes Philly?
I think the biggest struggle is that we are only a school, and a lot of our students are at the stage where they need like a new place to live, where they need more help in terms of getting into college or getting a job than we're able to provide as a school. So we do some counseling, but some of our students need more of that. A lot of our students need housing because, like, you know, when you're 20 years old, a lot of things have changed in your family, and you may not have the support you need, especially if you've left school. There may be some issues with your family. There may have been a lot of past things that went on in your family, and so you need to really be moving out on your own. So, I mean, I think that's, you know, sort of where students are going to go, where they're going to live, how they're going to stabilize themselves so that they can get a job and do well in that job, I think is our biggest challenge. And I think we also need more supports to get students into college once they graduate.
Awesome. And that kind of leads me into my next question before I let you go today. What are your thoughts when you hear the phrase "no child left behind"?
You know, I'm one of the people who I think really believes in what those words mean, but that's not what the political process of that ended up meaning. And I didn't actually expect it was going to. I mean, I'm a parent. My daughter's grown at this point, but like, I want for every young person in Philadelphia what I wanted for my daughter. I want them to get a really good education and have a chance to figure out who they want to be, and then have the supports to be that person. Because I want those people in my city and in my life and in my future. And No Child Left Behind ended up being a process where students are all tested, and the assumption was that we were going to require that everybody get to a certain level at a test. But if you don't provide all of the support so that people can get to that level, then you're just kind of screening out a whole lot of people. So if you look at Philly's test levels and scores, like, we come out really low. And it's not because people aren't trying, it's because those students haven't had the education they need.
I love your answer. I definitely love your answer. Thank you once again for coming on to the Revive platform today.
Could you
go ahead and tell the people where they can find out some more information, the website,
sure,
social media, anything like that?
Yeah, our website is at www.yesphilly.org. That's YESPHILLY.org. And we're in the process of updating it, so I would probably give it a day or two before I tried to look at it, maybe even end of day tomorrow. But we have contact information there. We're at 1231 North Broad, which is on Broad Street, just north of Girard. We're upstairs from Sneaker Villa on the second floor. So if you're interested in coming in and talking to people, you could just come in any day between 10 and 4.
Perfect. I thank you once again, and I hope you have a great evening.
You too. Thank you.
And once again, that was Miss Taylor Fromm here on the Revive Show. She was talking about Yes Philly, which is an educational program for alternative students here in the city of Philadelphia. It was an amazing, amazing conversation to know that she is getting, you know, funding, or she's contracted by some Philadelphia officials and also some networks. So I think that that's pretty dope. And to know that they're, you know, she actually cares, they go above and beyond for to give them meals and things like that. And one thing that really stood out to me, she was like, we just have to one of the struggles is just remembering that we're just a school, you know what I mean, because some kids like that don't really have nowhere else to go or don't have nothing else to do once they leave school, so you have to become babysitters and things like that. So that's why we're getting to the root today here on Revive. We want to talk about these issues, we want to address these issues, and we also want to put different outlets such as Yes Philly out there so you guys can know more information that people actually do care and people actually do have, you know, a place for you to go that's a safe space for you to go get some education and just get yourself together. You know what I mean? Just get yourself together. So we do have Tab Money coming up on the Revive platform today as well. But before we do that, we are going to go to a quick commercial break. Right at this commercial break, we are going to have Tab Money coming up with Tab Money Habits. I cannot wait. We'll be right back after this break.
Growing up, you learn that if you get good grades in high school and get a college degree, you will have your shot at the American dream. Unfortunately, that is no longer true. There are currently 20 million Americans attending college every year. 20 million students, 20 million different stories, one struggle, and one call to action. The current student loan debt crisis has now reached $1 trillion and continues to grow $3,000 a second. 20 million students, all with the same problem, and yet so few are willing to stand against it. Will you?
are back live on Revive. It's me, your girl, POC. Give us a call right now, 215-490-9832. And make sure you guys are following us on both Facebook and Twitter at Revive_POC. Once again, that is Revive_POC on both Facebook and Twitter. Make sure you guys are following us right now. Next up, we do have Tab Money with Tab Money Habits. Make sure you guys tune in each and every second and fourth Wednesday of the month for Tab Money Habits. I'm really excited for this. Yo, Tab, what it do? What it do?
Bless up.
What it do? What it do? What it do? Tab Money, you on Revive. How it feel?
It feels great. And I just want to let you know that funk on the commercials, just know I appreciate it. I get the audio every time I hear.
You know, that's going to be them rhythms. That's going to be them rhythms at this event on Saturday. They're not a hip to that Russell Brand. You got to get them hip.
Just tune in. I see you there for all the people that's going to be there.
For them real vibrations. You hear me? Them real vibrations.
So but shout out to the commercials. I love the commercials. Keep holding it down with the info. But let me get into the Tab Money Habits, because, you know, that's what I'm on for today. That's what we on for today.
Definitely. Make sure you tell them what it is, though. Explain them exactly what it is.
We got to break it down.
They need that science, man. Before you get to that math, you got to give them that science.
We got to rewind, though. I want to let the people know about the Russell Brand movement, because that's how it all starts. It all starts with the Russell Brand movement.
Of course.
POC is the blood sis. I'm Tab Money. She holding down Revive. I'm holding down TBE Lifestyle. We both holding down the Russell Brand movement. And, just to know us is to know that we are the Russell Brand movement. When you hear Russell Brand, that's POC and Tab Money. Let's get it. So let's get into the Tab Money Habits, because I don't got that much time, but I do want to let y'all know what this is and get into some lessons for today. So everybody already knows it's Tab Money coming in from CBE Lifestyle, College Bound Entertainment. We're doing the artist development. We're doing the livelihood coaching. And we got the Russell Brand movement, like I said. So why Tab Money? Why people call me Tab Money? How I got the name Tab Money? First, I want to say shout out to Glennon, because that's where, again, the beginning, we get into the roots. We already talked about the topic for today is the roots, so we got to hit the roots. So shout out to Taz Money. He the one who gave me the name Tab Money, if you're going to keep it 100. So, yeah, Tab Money. Birthed by Taz Money. Got the name. Just all because I was on the grind. Like, he really, 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 really respected my grind. Like, every time I came around the way, he was like, yo, you Tab Money. I don't care what you say. You Tab Money. So I just want to shout out to Tab Money for giving me the name. All right, let's get into the financial freedom and what this all about. All right, so the mission for the Tab Money Habits is to share the knowledge with the community about unlearning and relearning habits that lead to financial freedom and generational wealth. Generational wealth. Letting y'all know now. That is how we're going to solve our problems. Solve our problems is through financial freedom, through generational wealth. I'm just trying to tell you how important that is right now. So important. I'm going to need y'all to take notes. Like, this is so, so important. All right, so this segment will get a listeners an opportunity to receive a free series of financial literacy workshops, webinars, a radinar. Yes, I said it, a radinar. Came up on my own creative words, you know how we do POC. Came up with the radinar, all about, you got the webinar, you got the seminar. Let's do a radinar. Using the Revive Online podcast platform, we are able to create radinars for the listeners to experience seminars and workshops over the radio. You already know. We on the radio doing everything POC style. So we give a free information away, free knowledge over the radio, webinar, workshop series on the air. Free every second or fourth Wednesday. Anybody got any questions?
Let's get right into it. I'm listening. Bye.
I'm hanging on to you everywhere. I'm ready for these habits. I can't wait. I need to get better with money.
All right, bet. That's what I just want to let the people know. I need y'all to call in because every time I'm on the air, you already know it's a winning Wednesday. PLC giving away free gear every second or fourth Wednesday on the Tab Money Habits. So we're going to make that pop.
Free up all yourself.
So unless I want to know, y'all, my intentions for the workshop, for the free workshop that I'm going to be doing every second or fourth Wednesday. Every second or fourth Wednesday, I'm going to set the intentions to change routines and create habits. I'm going to open your mind to unlearn and relearn everything you know to be truth. And I'm only going to speak on what I know. And most importantly, I'm going to want to grow with each and every one of our listeners. So again, most importantly, we change the routines and we create habits. That's the foundation of Tab Money Habits. We're going to open your mind to unlearn and relearn. We're going to only speak on what I know to be true, and we're going to grow with every one of our listeners out there. All right, so I do have expectations because, like, I'm giving away free info, and I am going to try to follow up. So my expectations for the segment, I'm going to need y'all to take financial literacy serious. Like, I stress this enough, like, how generational wealth is the key. Like, if you ever want to know, like, why we walking around with slave minds or we think we prison pipeline and boom, no, the answer is generational wealth. It's that simple. It's that easy. That's all we got to do. Financial literacy. Know about finance. Know about money. And we can make this happen. All right, my next expectation. I'm going to need y'all, don't try. I'm going to need y'all, just do it. Like, I don't want to hear I tried. Or it was this or it was that, giving me excuses. I just need you to do it. I need you to create new habits. I need you to create routines. I need you to be consistent, and I need you to do it over and over and over again. Next thing I'm expecting y'all to do is be real with yourself. Set realistic goals. Seek the truth. Invest in yourself. Again, be real with yourself. Only you know you. Truly, only you know you, so be real with yourself. And then most importantly, again, I need participation. I need y'all to call in. I need y'all to listen in. I need y'all to tune in. We got to get POC numbers up on the rail. I need y'all to call in. I need y'all to participate. I need you to engage. I'm going to need y'all to take notes. I'm going to have assignments for y'all to do. I'm going to need y'all to call in with questions. And I'm going to need y'all to do y'all research. Research is most important about seeking the truth. You can't just go off of what people tell you or what you think or what you believe. You got to do your research for yourself. Find the knowledge for yourself. Find the truth for yourself. And another way you can get at me is tweeting POC. Any questions? I need questions on that. Crowd participation.
How is financial literacy going to help us get to the root?
You got to think about it. We got $1 trillion spending power. So that means we have money. We are accessing money at some point. It's getting into our hands. But how many times does it circulate around the Black community? Once, before it leaves. So once we understand how to financial literacy and how to pass it down generation to generation and generation, because technically that's what me and you doing with Russell Brand. Like, we starting it right now. We're the seeds to building generational wealth to pass down to our kids and to the generations to come. So, yeah, that's why financial literacy is important. So when we die or our parents die, we're leaving something to our kids that so they don't have to start from zero, so they don't have to start from the project, so they don't have to start from nothing.
That makes sense.
All right, so basically, you said go ahead.
No, I was saying that makes sense.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's what I'm stressing. Generational wealth is that simple. I don't really go too much into it once I start breaking it down, the process of getting into generational wealth. I don't want to overwhelm you with just generational wealth because most people don't even understand the words paying yourself first or investing. So I'm going to dive deep into that as the show continues, but I just want to get the listeners, like, my intentions, like what I really plan to do with this joint, and then also as well as my expectations, because in order for me to succeed, in order for this just collective wealth to succeed, we need everybody to be engaged. We need everybody to participate, I need y'all to take notes. I need y'all to do something different, do something you never done before, take risks, everything. But I do want to break down my strategy. Because like I said, you already know me, PLC. Like, if you got to charge for knowledge, you the oppressor. So I'm giving you the strategy. I'm giving you my sources.
You got to say that one more time, man.
I said, I'm giving everyone the strategy.
No, like, you said something about the oppressor. I don't think they heard you, the comment about the oppressor.
Oh, so the oppressor, I'm saying, is that anyone who charges knowledge, charges money for knowledge, is the oppressor.
Talk about it. So let's hear it.
And that I'm going to be transparent when I'm giving y'all the tab money segments. I'm going to give you my strategy. I'm going to give you the blueprint. I'm going to give you the key to unlock the door, but it's going to be up to you to unlock the door. So breaking down my strategies, I'm going to let you know why we are using habits to create financial freedom and why I chose habits to create financial freedom as a way to learn financial literacy. Habits are a part of our subconscious. They are part of what we do, and they are essentially us. So I've been studying the habit loop. From Charles Duke, who wrote The Power of the Habit, and that's the Habit of the Free right there. That's the financial book and assist of the week that I'm going to give y'all is The Power of the Habit. So write that book down, The Power of the Habit by Charles. And I'm spelling his last name for you. E-U.
You got had a material ready, man. What's the name of the book? You got everybody writing with the pen. What's the name of the book?
I don't want to mess up his name because it's a little, yeah. It's D-U-H-I-G-G.
So now you got to say the title over and the name all over.
It's The Power of the Habit, Charles Duke. I'm going to pronounce that. It's D-U-H-I-G-G.
All right.
All right, so yeah,
What's the book, though? Tell me about the book.
That's a book about habits and how I really, really, really came to understand the habit loop. So I'm going to break down the habit loop. It's on my flyer, if y'all can see it. But it's the cue, it's the routine, it's the reward. And the cue is something similar to, like, a trigger, like what ticks you or what makes you go do something. And that's something that doesn't change. The routine is something we can change. So that's why we're always trying to change our routine so we can create new habits. And the reward, everyone knows what the reward is what you get out, what you put in. And that's something you also do not change. So I have a few examples that I'm going to give you guys an example of how the habit loop works. So our cue is, everybody already know, Friday night, we just got paid. The routine is we cast a check, go to the liquor store, we eat out, go get some good food, and we go to the bar that night and hang out with some friends. The reward is we have a fun weekend. It was lit.
$200 broke. You wake up on Monday and be like, where is my check?
You literally just described my Friday night.
But you already know, like, subconsciously, every Friday night, when you think about what to do, this is what we're doing. This is what everybody's doing. So let's do it. But what we can do, like I said, we changing the routine. So I'm going to give y'all another example. Just got paid Friday night. That's the cue. That's the trigger. The routine is we're going to cook dinner, we're going to work out, and we're going to create fun with friends at home. We're going to save our money. The reward is we're going to have a fun, lit weekend.
You dreaming.
And we save.
You dreaming.
The dreamer? Nah, you got to just have the discipline to do it. And that's what about the routine is. And that's why, like, I set my expectations and my intentions with y'all because, like, yeah, you want to think, like, ain't nobody going to want to stay home on a Friday night. But guess what? If you're trying to save your money, that $200 you would just blew to buy the table by the bar, to go buy food, to go to the movies, to go shopping, to go do whatever. Like you said, come Monday morning, you're looking like, my check, like, I just lost 200 quick in 5 minutes. In 2 days. I already had to work. How many days?
So how are you going to break these habits, Tab?
So what I'm telling you is that I need you to break these habits. I'm going to show you how to break these habits by changing your routine. I'm going to help you. I'm going to give you some new routines, some different saving habits, some different financial habits that you can implement in your life, but it's on you to drink. I can lead you to the water, but I can't make you drink. And then I also have a question for you and Trueheart. So what are some routines you recommend to eliminate bad habits in this scenario? We just got paid on Friday night. What routine do you recommend for the listeners that they can do besides go to the liquor store, besides go to the club, besides go to happy hour, besides go to the mall?
Before we answer that question, I just want to let everyone know who just tuned in. You are listening to The Red and R with your girl Tab Money, with Tab Money Habits coming on Revive each and every second and fourth Wednesday of the month. So make sure you guys tune in. If you got any questions right now, give us a call, 215-490-9832. So Trueheart, we got to answer Tab Money questions. She put us on the spot. So I'm going to let you go first. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to let you go first, the youngest.
You just threw me in a hot seat. Okay, so my suggestion and what I do, I don't necessarily know if this is the best habit, but even like a few days before I get paid, I write out how I'm going to spend my check. So that's kind of my way of budgeting, unfortunately.
You're not listening. You got to put it in the queue.
Yeah, that's a whole different question.
I'm sorry.
You know what I'm saying?
Just got paid. Oh, my bad. I'm sorry. Clearly, you can see how I did in school. All right, just got paid.
It's Friday night.
Oh, man, this is tough. Wait. How you going to take my turn? I'm going to go to the bank. Right? That could be first. I'm going to go to the bank. Then I'm going to go to the market. I'm going to go home and cook dinner. I can't lie. I'm probably not going to work out on a Friday night, but I am going to go home and cook dinner. Prior to going to the market, though, I might stop at the liquor store, but I'm not going to buy the most expensive bottle. I'm just going to buy a bottle of wine and go home, invite some friends over, and just chill and still have a fun Friday evening. Is that terrible? POC shaking her head. What are you going to do on a Friday?
Am I giving my realistic examples, Tab?
That's another thing I said, be real. That was on my expectations. I needed to be realistic and make realistic goals, because we don't want to set ourselves up for failure. We want to set ourselves up for success. So I need you to be realistic with yourself. Only you know you.
All right. Just got paid. It's Friday night. I'm calling the bank saying switch it over to the checking account. No, I'm sorry, to the savings account. My bad. Just got paid. It's Friday night. Switching over to the savings account because Tab Money, my sister, so she don't play that. I got to put that 10% away. I got to pay myself first. Then I'm looking into that account that says wish list, and I might just buy me some because I feel special. And then I'm going to do something to my car because I'm pressed right now to get my car right. So then after I go to the wish list and buy myself something, then I'm going to go look up something about my car, how I can get this next situation done on my car.
All right. That's the
truth. It might be boring, but it's the truth. I'm going to put something away in my savings. I'm going to buy me something, and then I'm going to go work on something that needs to get done.
All right. Eventually, we gonna figure out as the series move along, you're going to find out some different financial habits that you can, like, implement that maybe like a step up, a level up, you know me. We got to level up with the things that get our routines popping so we can achieve the goals we want to set to achieve. All right, so moving along, I got another example for y'all. So the cue is holiday season. The routine is that we buy gifts for our families and friends every holiday season. The reward is that we celebrate the holidays. All right, so that's what most of us, majority of us, that's how we enjoy and spend the holidays. So the next, changing up the routine, we got the cue and the trigger. It's the holiday season's coming up again. The routine is we go on a family vacation. The reward is we celebrate the holidays. So again, POC, Trueheart, How can we switch up the routine to achieve the same reward?
Give me the last one more time. Give me the last one more time.
The cue is holiday season. The routine is every year we go on a family vacation. We're not buying gifts. We're going on a family vacation. The reward is we celebrate the holidays.
Just got paid.
No, we're not talking about that no more. It's the cue. We switched it up. Know, it's a whole different experience.
I'm just got paid on. I'm saying I just got paid. I'm putting my money into a pot that me and my family discussed to save for our family holiday during the holidays. Now it's the holidays, and all I gotta do is get on the plane.
That's lit.
That was a good one. She switched it up on me, Tab. Okay,
yeah,
so
yeah.
All right, so it's the holiday season. That's the cue. It's the holiday season. Instead of going on a family vacation, we still come together as a family at one of, like, the grandmoms or the aunt's house. Everybody cooks something, but, like, instead of, like, one person buying all the food and alcohol and different things like that. Don't think I'm a drunk, y'all. I keep talking about alcohol. But, like, instead of one person buying it, it's just like, all right, everybody bring something. So that cuts costs. And the reward is everybody's still together. We saved some money because we didn't necessarily have to buy a plane ticket. And we still celebrate the holiday. Right?
That's no? Still lit.
Okay, all right, still lit. Cool. I got an A.
All right, so, but I am going to, just because that was something different, I do want to break down the word routine, because the routine is something that we want to do repetitively. So, like, I don't know if, like, every year that's something that you guys will want to do for your vacation, but I want something that we can change. So, like, another example is saying that I broke up with my boyfriend every time, and the routine is I eat a carton of ice cream, and the reward is I feel better. And going with the cue again, I broke up with my boyfriend. The routine is I work out, and the reward is I feel better. So we want to know that it's the routine that we want. Every time this trigger happens, every time this cue happens, this is the routine that we're going to implement. We're not going to switch it up. We're not going to change it up. It's not going to be different next time. It's going to be the same exact thing over and over and over and over and over again till you, like, my subconscious is doing this without me even knowing. So that's what I mean by routine. And building constructive habits are the foundation of this journey and this process that I want you to take with me. Like, and that's what it's all coming down to, a habit. It's nothing, anything more or less. It's literally your habit. And that's our routines that we are implementing in our life. So along with going off with the lessons I'm going to give during each rating hour, I'm going to have the habits of the free. And with the habits of the free, I'm going to give y'all financial habits, like we're talking about now, and I'm going to give y'all free knowledge. And this week on Revive, the habits of the free that I'm going to keep repeating, because I want to instill it in your mind, is that I want you to pay yourself first. I want you to save 10% minimum. And that paying yourself first, because Harmony to God has called me and said, yo, Ty, with money, what does that mean? I'm going to break it down for y'all. Paying yourself first means save. Do not touch it. Don't go spending on, oh, I'm going to treat myself because I worked hard this week. No, that's not what paying yourself first means. Paying yourself first means I'm putting this money away. I'm not touching it until it's time to touch it.
Definitely. Tab, hold on. Give us 1 second. I think you got a caller. Let's see. Hey, caller, what's your name and where you calling from? You're live on Revive.
This is Rose McGee.
Awesome.
Rose, how
can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Rose, give us 1 second. We're about to wrap up this segment with Tab Money Habits, and then we'll have you coming up live on Revive, okay?
Great segment. Okay.
Thank you. All right, so, and then I'm going to make it real quick, but that's the habits of the free. I said it again when I introduced the show 2 weeks ago, and it's on Vita's, the first initial actual workshop on the radio NAR. It's going to be Pay Yourself First. That's going to be on the fourth Wednesday of this month. And speaking the language, I'm going to still do the word of the day, wrap it up real quick. It's constituent. I'm going to bring it back to PLC first word of the day on her first ever show. It was consensual, and it was being part of a whole. I'm going to need everyone. Like I said, it's going to take a collective. I can't do it by myself. I got to build with my family, and I got to build with other families. Like, that's how we build the empire. So that's why the words of the day for my first show is going to be consensual. And also, the assist of the week. The assist of the week is going to be, like, the homework. It's going to be the journal entries that I'm going to need y'all to do. And it's, like, I'm not going to grade it. I'm not going to do none of that. I am going to check y'all to make sure y'all doing y'all work, but it's self-check. So I'm going to need you to check yourself, really. And the assist of this week, I'm going to need y'all to read The Richest Man in Babylon. It's a free PDF. Just Google it. The Richest Man in Babylon. I need y'all to Google it. PDF version, read that, and we're going to talk about it in 2 weeks.
Awesome.
And again, I'm going to need y'all to just call in and get the Revive Gear every Wednesday with Tab Money. And we also going to do Rhythm and Reasoning this weekend, right, POC?
Definitely, Rhythm and Reasoning down the DMV area. Make sure you guys go RSVP right now on Eventbrite. Make sure you do so.
I need y'all to RSVP right now and just follow the Russell Brand movement, follow the Revive movement, follow the CBE lifestyle movement, follow the Tab Money Habits movement, and let's get ready to build.
Can you repeat that name of that book one more time? Before you get off the air tonight, can you repeat that name of the book one more time? We got somebody on Twitter looking.
Richest Man in Babylon.
Shout out to Stony F Baby for listening in. That tweet was from her. Shout out to Stony F Baby. All right, Tab. This wraps up another episode of Tab Money Habits. I do appreciate you once again, but we do have our next guest coming onto the Revive platform tonight. We're getting back to the roots today here on Revive. The question of the day, once again, is how do we get to the root? And I think our next guest may have that answer. Yo, Truar, who we have coming up on the Revive platform today?
Next up on the Revive platform, we have Rose McGee. Rose McGee is a sweet potato pie philanthropist, storyteller, educator, playwright, and entrepreneur. She is the creator of the Sweet Potato Comfort Pie Initiative, the owner of Deep Roots Gourmet Desserts, and has a TEDx talk on the power of pie. 2 summers ago, she led her own community of Golden Valley in baking 56 sweet potato comfort pies and personally served them at Mother Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston, South Carolina, where 9 African Americans were killed. Her sweet potato comfort pie approach has become a cornerstone during the MLK Jr. holiday weekend when Rose, along with other volunteers, baked sweet potato pies at Calvary Lutheran Church, then facilitate conversations around race and equity. Participants then take the pies and distribute them as gifts to individuals and organizations throughout the community as a symbol of concern and celebration. She is the author of the book Story Circle Stories, works for Minnesota Humanity Center, and resides in Golden Valley, Minnesota, where she was recently selected as Citizen of the Year. Welcome, Rose McGee, to the Revive platform.
Well, hello. Hello, Miss POC.
How are you doing today? I'm really, truly happy for you to be on the show. That bio does not describe the work that you do at all. Your work that you do for the community, the work that you do for African Americans each and every day is just, it's profound. And welcome to the Revive platform, Miss McGee. How are you doing today?
I'm fine. Thank you so much. But I have to tell you, I'm the one who's inspired. I've been listening to your show, and I'm so honored to be on it. I mean, you are, woo, y'all doing it. That's all I can say. This is so incredible. And it really is inspiring for me. So thank you for having me on your show.
Thank you once again. And go ahead and tell the people a little bit about yourself. Go ahead and tell them how you got started and what you actually do.
Well, I think you kind of summarized it all. Shoot, I'll just sit back and listen to the rest. If you've got more people who can talk like that young lady who was just on. But I think, you know, she summarized it so good in the end when she said, it's time to get get into action. It's time to get into action. And I love the way she repeats things, because as oral learners, people of African culture, we tend to be oral learners, and we hear things repeated, and generally in threes. And I noticed that she had that cadence going with that. And so I say that to say it's time that we recognize that we must be about business that helps to unify and bring people, all people, together in ways that can build these relationships. So that's what I try to do. I do it through the pie. We call our project Sweet Potato Comfort Pie a catalyst for caring and building community. And when you do that, coming together not only to bake the pies, but then to convene in circle, because it's important to be in circle. There's no head or tail to that. And listen. People have to begin listening to each other and sharing. So if you're listening, then you're sharing. And listening without interrupting, and listening with respect. And that's something that we find to be challenging as well. So when we do those basic little simple things, it can make a world of difference. So that's what I do with myself.
What made you actually start baking the pies, and for the reason why you start baking the pies?
Well, you know, I'm from the South originally. I was born and raised in Jackson, Tennessee. And I grew up, you know, around people who that's what they did was cook. But I was not big on cooking per se. And I was raised with my grandmother, my great-grandmother. But what I observed was that whenever somebody was in need, they would make something and carry, you know, to make the person feel good. If somebody was sick, or if somebody had passed away, or if somebody had, you know, just had a baby, or even in celebration. So they would bake something that they were known for. And it turned out, you know, my great-grandmother and them were known, you know, to make sweet potato pies and chicken and dressing, that sort of thing. And they would do that. So I grew up with that, and it was just a part of the culture. So later on in life, I decided, because I didn't know how, I wanted to make a sweet potato pie for dinner for some folks that were coming over. I was young and, you know, newlywed kind of thing, and wanted to show off. And I didn't know how. I don't know what made me think I could just go in the kitchen and make sweet potato pie. So I had to call my grandmother and find out, and it was the biggest mess. Terrible, terrible, terrible. But I didn't stop there. I decided to keep on trying. And next thing I knew, people were asking, you know, well, can you bring a sweet potato pie? Because if you know sweet potato pie, you know that people are real persnickety about it. And so over time, people would ask for the pie, and I started selling them for a while. And then I stopped selling them because I always worked full-time, and it was very taxing on my body, you know, being on my feet trying to do that after working full-time. But the Ferguson thing, is you kind of mentioned earlier, I was sitting in my living room, right where I'm sitting now as I talk to you, watching television, and became very frustrated as I watched people looking so hopeless and filled with pain, and wondered, what in the world can I do? I'm up here in Minnesota. That's down there. What can I do to help? And instinctively, and I just say the Lord spoke to me, and I went in the kitchen and started making pies and loaded up my car with about 30 sweet potato pies. My son Adam was home, and he rode with me, and we took them down. But what I discovered was how people liked to talk. They wanted you to hear them, wanted people to listen. And I came back to Minnesota realizing this is what people want, and we need to do that right here, because all of us have our issues in our communities. And if we can be proactive, let's start by being proactive and listening to each other.
Ms. McGee, what was some of those conversations that you were having, you know, as you were handing out the pie to everyone that was in the protest down there in Ferguson?
Well, first of all, the protesting was over by the time I got there. Okay. When I got there, everything had calmed down, and people were now waiting. It was so quiet. It was rather hauntingly quiet, because people were now waiting for some sort of indictment to be presented. And so most of the folk who lived there weren't on the streets at this point. Most of the folk on the streets at that point were people like me who had come from outside of Ferguson. So one of the things that I did do was contact someone who I knew and said, do you know anybody that you can connect with me with so that I can be sure and find people that need to be found? And so I was connected to a pastor there in the St. Louis area. And this pastor and his church had been very active in the protest and, you know, some of the back, that stuff that we don't hear about, healing that people needed and rescuing. But what did happen, there was a young lady there, and there's a photograph that has somewhat become iconic when we talk about Ferguson with me. She was a friend of Michael Brown's, and she was a young girl, and she was standing out there, you know, the memorial that you see in the streets. And she was talking to him, just mad, you know, just fussing. I don't know why you didn't just go inside that day. I don't know why you had to be. And so heard her and went over to her and asked her if she knew Michael. And she said, yes, ma'am, I did. I said, well, how are you feeling? And she just expressed her anger. I said, well, would you be willing to accept a sweet potato pie from me? And she looked at me as if I was out of my mind. And she said, a sweet potato pie? Well, there had been some young men who had cameras, and they were from Carolina someplace, just, you know, on the scene filming. And they knew, and so they said to her, this lady came all the way from Minnesota to bring pies. And she looked at me, and I opened the box, and the pies are pretty. They're beautiful with hearts on top. And she just started crying. And she said, nobody's ever given me a sweet potato pie like this. And she took the pie, and she just, you know, started crying. And I held her a little bit. And she said she just wished that, you know, things hadn't happened the way they did with Michael, and it really hurt her. And I said, so did you know him long? And she said, I've known him a long time. He lived right there. So she turned around and pointed to where his grandmother lived, because that's where he lived with her. So that was really
that's an amazing
one of the most
story. I was
profound
gonna say, that is a really amazing story. That's something you are going to remember definitely. And it will be really crazy if you see that young lady again, you know, later on in life too, definitely, if she remembers you.
Well, she does. I got her name, and her name is Brittany. And, you know, she was kind enough to let me, you know, to exchange information. And so she emailed me later and said she shared her pie with some relatives and how good it was. And, you know, I said, we'll stay in touch. So you're inspiring me to follow up with her, actually. So I appreciate you saying that.
No doubt. And so you say you're, you know, you live in Minnesota. So, you know, the whole Philando Castile story just came up as well. You know, his officer, you know, got acquitted of all charges. How do you feel about that?
Well, that was devastating. As you know, I'm sure, you know, this just rocked all of us, the nation, right?
Definitely.
And one thing we knew, some of us felt all along, no matter what that verdict would have been, it was going to be painful. It was going to be painful no matter what, because the young man who did the killing, I mean, that's a whole nother discussion. Because, you know, what would make a young man of color who is now a trained police officer feel so threatened by an African-American male? So those conversations are some things that people are needing to talk about. Where does that fear come from? And then we are so easy. And when I say we, I'm talking about black folks, because I really love the way you all are speaking to our young folks in a way that they can understand it. And one of the things that we must begin to do is recognize how important it is for us not to become divisive.
Definitely.
Among ourselves.
Definitely.
And the Castile family, I don't know them personally. I just know that when Philando was killed, we took pies to his mother, and she received them graciously. And then, you know, the whole idea of this trial going down as it did was very painful. So I decided to have a celebration at my home after this whole Citizen of the Year thing, just so we could talk about how do we want to respond with pies to this verdict? What do we do? And that was supposed to have been the purpose of the celebration, because I don't have a party generally for no reason. I bring people together and say, okay, this is what we got to figure out. And that week, a few days before the party, this was just last week, by the way, The Real, you know, the national talk show, The Real, had done a feature on me back in February. So after the verdict, they pulled that feature and incorporated it into their current event. As a result of that, Diamond Reynolds, you know who Diamond is,
she's the girlfriend of Philando who
videotaped the whole thing.
The mother of the child in the back seat.
The mother of the child.
Let's talk about it, right?
In a very incredible way. She happened to catch that version of it, of The Real, a couple of weeks ago, and she told her mother, we have to find that lady. We have to find that lady. And her mother called me on a Thursday, and I was preparing to have my party on Tuesday. And I listened to her share the pain and anguish that they're going through because, you know, I don't know all the circumstances. All I know is that there is, you know, not there's no relationship between and
Ms.
the Castile family.
Ms. McGee, you're kind of cutting up a little bit. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, you were kind of going in and out a little bit. Go ahead. Can you repeat? Can you bring it back just a little bit for us?
So Diamond's mother calls me.
Yeah, you're really breaking up, Ms.
Did
McGee.
You get it?
No, I can't hear your phone. No, your phone is really breaking up. Did you move? We want to make sure we get this story because I was tuned in. Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me? All right. Well, we are on the line. We're going to try to get her back on the line. I'm not sure what happened with her service, but we're on right now with Rose McGree. Yes, I hear you coming through. We're on right now with Rose McGee. She was telling us an amazing story about when she had the opportunity to speak with Diamond Reynolds, who is the girlfriend of Philando Castile and the mom of the, you know, the beautiful daughter that was in the back seat of the car at the time. So we're going to go to a quick commercial break, and then we are going to get back into that interview with Miss McGee. Definitely stay tuned. We're going to see if we can get her back on the line. Also, make sure you guys tune into Revive each and every Wednesday, each and every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Let's see if we got Miss McGee back on the line today.
Back.
Yes, Miss McGee. I can hear you loud and clear on Revive. How are you doing today?
I'm okay. I don't know what happened.
All right.
I take that as a sign of not to talk too much.
No. I was actually into the story, and I know the listening audience wants to hear the rest of that story as well. So go ahead and finish the story for us, please.
Well, Diamond and her mother to the party, and they came. And it was wonderful to hear, you know, her version of how she's been since, you know, the death of Philando, because it has been it's been traumatic for all of us. And let's face it, had she not filmed that incident with such clarity, and, you know, it's like, where did that calm come from? And everyone in the room, because I had quite a bunch of people here that night, they were able to inspire her for what she did and to let her know how much she was appreciated for what she did. Because she and her child could have been harmed, and they were not, which is really, truly a blessing. So what's next for her, I'm not sure. But I do know that her presence that night was truly, truly a blessing for us.
So how
she indicated.
So she actually attended the party, and did she tell her story there?
Yeah,
everyone
did.
Just enjoyed her company.
Yes.
That's awesome.
She did. It was awesome. So that's what we do. That's what I do. Is just, we have a saying that a friend of mine created. Kate told. She said, "Keep your eyes on the pies," and that's what we do. We don't go out looking for things. We just, you know, things come up, and if we feel we need to respond to this, that's what we've been doing.
Definitely. Thank you, Ms. McGee, for coming onto the Revive platform. I do have one question, though, before I let you go today. If you can say one thing to the next generation, what would it be?
Be involved. Be involved. Pay attention. It's so easy to get comfortable and let somebody else take care of everything and feel like, oh, I don't have to do that. I don't have to do that. How many people have we heard since the election in 2016, last year, the presidential election? How many people have said, well, I didn't need to vote. I didn't feel I needed to vote. I didn't feel I needed. Yeah, you did. Everyone needs to be involved with whatever it is that sustains your lifestyle currently, because we had ancestors who died and were killed and still are, so that people could be free. So we want young people, just as the young lady before was saying, in order for you to really be able to move ahead, you've always heard us say education, education, and that's still very true. But whatever you can do to get yourself in a financial position where not only can you take care of yourself, but to give back to the community and to give back and not just think of yourself only.
I love your answer. Get involved. We need more people to get involved. Because I think it's time for a new leader to step up. We need some leadership. And I think that, you know, communication is going to help us get to that unity. But once we unify, you know, we need that leader to help us, you know, to be guided and to just direct us into the right way. And I think that that's another thing that we're missing right now. We don't actually have a vocal leader on the forefront to make sure that, you know, everyone is involved as a collective. And I think that's what we're missing.
It is what we're missing. And there's one other key ingredient, too, and that is really being filled with integrity, because you can have people who step up as your leaders, but if they are not integrity-oriented, if they're not truthful and they're only doing it for selfish reasons, I mean, there's nothing wrong, I don't believe, for people having ambition. I think that's good. But have ambition with the right heart. And have ambition to help benefit and grow and help our environment and our community be sustainable, not just for me in this moment, and not just to do things and you're not being truthful. So that leader has to be truthful, and that's part of the problem we've got now too, mm-hmm. is we've lost faith in so many people that have mm-hmm. perpetrated leadership. So if people are growing, if those seeds, as some people are starting to use this phrase a lot lately, planting seeds so that, you know, humanity and peace can grow. If that's to happen, then it needs to be rooted, deep rooted in authenticity that's about integrity.
And guess what, Ms. McGee? Today's show is called Getting to the Root. And that's why we had you on today's show, definitely, because we need to get to the root. And that's why the question, before I let you go, let me ask you this question, actually. I'm sorry for taking up all your time. How do you think we are going to get to the root? What is one advice or one key thing that we need to do to get to the root? I know you said get involved, but what is one thing that we can do to get exactly to the root of the problems that we're facing? And it's now becoming a cycle. You know, our parents' parents have faced the same problem. You know what I mean? So what would be a piece of advice that you will leave us with?
Organize. I say organize, and I mean it seriously. If we can do things individually, if we start, you know, one at a time. With the sweet potato comfort pie, yes, I started it right there in the kitchen. But before I got on that road, I called somebody else and said, this is what I'm doing, and I want to make sure that this is okay. I'm going to do, you know, and thank God it was received very well. But when I got back here, I called my mayor of Golden Valley. His name is Shep Harris, wonderful man. I called some of my friends and my relatives who are very close, but friends mostly who understand what we have to do. And I asked them to come and let's convene about this. So it was organizing. It was organizing, and we did it in unity. Did I agree with everything? No. Did they agree with everything with me? No. But we took everything collectively and made it something beautiful. So we have to begin to understand how to organize and how to listen and how to be respectful to what we may agree or disagree on, and then we can move forward.
Definitely.
And so that's what I think.
Definitely, Ms. McGee. I love the two gems you just dropped here for us on Revive. Get involved and organize. Those are two key essential elements that we need, you know, when it comes to the unity I am trying to create here in Revive. And in general, those are two big things that we need to implement each and every day. But Ms. McGee, if you can go ahead and tell the people where they can get some more information, how they can find you and things like that before you go.
Well, I certainly encourage you to go to our Facebook page, which is simply Sweet Potato Comfort Pies. You can do that. That's the easiest thing. And you can find us right there and contact us that way.
Awesome. And you don't
we have a GoFundMe page. And when you get to our Comfort Pie page, Sweet Potato Comfort Pie. Sweet Potato Comfort Pie. And that is who we are. And we've got a GoFundMe page because we're, you know, always trying to build. And you know what? Maybe your young people will want us to come and do a project there in Philadelphia.
Definitely.
We'd love to do that.
We got to stay connected. We definitely have to stay connected. And you don't spell sweet potato comfort pie any old kind of fancy way, right? It's a regular sweet potato comfort pie, right?
Well, it's the best recipe.
No, I'm saying mine. To spell it. To the Facebook.
It's the best recipe. Mine.
To get to the Facebook, though.
We have a recipe that is actually my recipe. But when people are making the pie, we have a guide that's been created which can tell people how to do the project from A to Z. So it's right there. And it's all right. You know, people may decide, well, we don't want to make pies. We want to make cookies. That's okay, too. Whatever you do, just bring it together in a way where you're encouraging people to, as my little friend Leslie Redman says, encouraging them to activate, because that's what's important.
Definitely.
So I really, really, it's a delicious dessert recipe. It's not just any old sweet potato pie.
Thank you, Ms. McGee, once again for coming onto the Revive platform today. I hope you have a great evening, and I'm definitely going to stay connected with you, and I wish you many blessings on your future endeavors.
Thank you, and I wish you all, too. You're doing a fabulous thing.
Thank you. Have a good
really
one.
Really excited. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And that wraps up another episode with Ms. Rose McGee. It was an amazing conversation. She told us about a time where she was in Ferguson after the Mike Brown killing, and then when she was in Minnesota after the Philando Castile situation, as well as Diamond Reynolds coming to her party and showing love as well. And I think that's amazing. And this is what we're trying to do here on Revive. We're trying to give someone a platform to tell their story and to allow the people to know that people are out there doing things. They're getting to the root. And that's why I love what Ms. McGee is actually doing. Up next, we do have Mike the Motivator. But before we go into that interview with Mike the Motivator here in Philly, I'm really, really excited to have him on the show as well. He's going to motivate us here today on Revive. Make sure you guys subscribe to the Revive newsletter as well. Just scroll down on timeforanawakening.com. Right under that blue button, you will see a big subscribe button. Make sure you guys click that and subscribe to the Revive newsletter right now. Yo, Mike, right after this break, we're coming directly to you. You know what time it is. It's me, your girl, POC.
you. Yeah, you. Father. Brother. Husband. Friend. When was the last time you got a checkup? Did you know black men are 2.6 times more likely to die from stomach cancer than white men? Black men are 2.3 times more likely to die from prostate cancer.
Black men are 4 times more likely to die by suicide than black women.
Did you know that less than half of Americans with a mental disorder seek treatment? But the proportion of blacks who seek treatment is half that of whites. We can do better. We have to do better. Because we need you.
I need you.
To be healthy.
To be safe. To stay alive. Visit your local doctor. Get a checkup. And if you're suffering from depression, please seek professional intervention. We're counting on you. Live.
Live. Live.
Live.
Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time.
All I need is one mic.
You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time. It's your girl POC.
Live on Revive. Make sure you guys spread the word, spread the message right now. We are live on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Once again, that is timeforanawakening.com/revive. You can also find us on TuneIn. Just search Time for an Awakening. You can either download the app or go directly to the website. You hear Meet Your Girl PLC live each and every Wednesday from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Yes, indeed. Make sure you guys are following the Revive timeline and on both Facebook and Twitter. We are live tweeting each and every show, and we are also live posting on Facebook as well. So make sure you guys follow us on both Facebook and Twitter at Revive_POC and subscribe to that newsletter. You guys, make sure you guys subscribe to that newsletter. But up next, we do have our next guest. I'm really excited for this guest. He goes by the name of Mike the Motivator. Yes, he's gonna drop some knowledge here on Revive today. I know this for a fact. Yo, True Heart, go ahead and introduce your friend.
Up next, we have Mike Nelson. Mike Nelson is also known as Mike the Motivator. He's an author, minister, and a motivational speaker. He's a proud native of West Philadelphia and has traveled the country providing student development to schools. Mike has reached close to 70 schools and 7,000 plus students with his message of making school the new cool. Mike is the author of Yes, You Can, 7 Keys to Student Success. His book is geared towards students that help keep students academically engaged. Mike is a graduate from Biblical Theological Seminary, where he received his master's degree with a concentration in urban studies. Welcome to the Revive platform, Mike the Motivator.
Hey, what happens to the music? I was over here, Millie rocking, but I guess y'all cut the music off, so
yeah,
it's all good.
It's time for you to motivate us, Mike. It's definitely your time on Revive. Definitely.
Oh, all right.
I appreciate you coming on Revive as well, Mike. I love what you're doing. I love your movement. Go ahead and tell the people a little bit about what you do.
Yeah, so hi, everybody that's out there. My name is Mike Nelson, a.k.a. Mike the Motivator. And basically what I do is I get a chance to travel and provide motivational, educational presentations for students and staff. And so it's a privilege and an honor to be able to, you know, do work in a school system, especially, you know, the school system that I grew up in. So basically for me, my whole mission is basically to make school the new cool. You know, we have a lot of students in our school systems that are just disengaged with education, you know. They don't really see an end towards when it comes to education. So I believe that it's my job, you know, I take that responsibility to go in there and make sure, you know, to let students know that Everybody's not going to be a ball player. You know, everybody's not going to be growing up and doing the sports thing. And that school can actually be an option. School can actually give you a way out from where it is that you come from.
Definitely. Mike, you're doing something that every millennial dreams of. I know definitely I'm dreaming of it. You're traveling the world and doing something that you love to do. How great does that feel? Every 24 hours you are blessed to see. How does that feel?
Oh, man. I would say this in complete honesty and transparency. The speaking part is probably the easiest. It's just, you know, knowing the need, you know, it's all the other stuff that's probably the hardest. So, you know, going into the schools and, you know, finding out what's the problems and making sure that you have a message, you know, that the students are going to be able to adhere to and negotiating contracts. But I mean, outside of that, you know, when you do what you love, it's not really working. So when you get a chance, you know, when you're talking at an assembly and afterwards, you know, students come up to you and say, yo, like, that changed my life. I thought about quitting school. I was about to give up. I mean, you can't put a price tag on it. So I absolutely enjoy doing it. I love what I do for a living.
Definitely. And what are some of the cities that you have been to so far on your journey?
Okay. So of course, Philly. We've been to Philly. We've been to Delaware. We've been to New Jersey. We've been to Ohio. We've been to Michigan. We've been to Atlanta. We've been to New York. And hopefully, you know, this year I'm in some talks. I'm not going to let the birdie out the cage yet, but we're in some talks to be doing a couple of more cities as well. So I'm definitely excited. We've done a lot of work, but, you know, we have a lot more work to do. So
I hope you make your way to Detroit sooner than later, Mike. They need you in Detroit right now. Their public school system, man, is crumbling literally with the walls. That's crumbling as well. So I really, really wish that and pray that you get to Detroit as soon as possible. Definitely.
Hope I get there safely. You know what I'm saying? When I get there.
Definitely, too. So what are some of the things that you talk to the youth about once you get into these, you know, these educational environments?
Yeah, so we talk about, you know, first of all, I try to make sure that, you know, that they are engaged. And so I let them know from a different perspective, again, that school can be a way out, you know, that you can change your family's life by you getting an education and going to school. And when I mean education, I'm not talking about college, because I do understand that every single student is not necessarily going to go to college, but you still do have to educate yourself. So you still do have to be reading books. You're always going to be a lifelong learner. So when I go in, we talk about leadership, you know, we talk about, you know, decision-making, making sure that you make the right choices, being in the right environment of how you should choose your friends. I was at a school in May, and I said something that, you know, I thought everybody kind of thought was funny, but I was serious. And I told the students, I said, look, you got to start auditioning for your friends. Like, you have to start asking, what are your intentions with me? What are we going to be doing? Are you going to get mad if I don't text you back? And I'm serious, because I think it's so important. The people that you surround yourself around, as my mom will always say, if you grow up and, you know, you're around five broke people, you know, you're liable to be the sixth one. So it's so important of how you choose your friends and the way that you choose your friends. So those are a couple of things that I cover. And like I said, man, it's no greater feeling in the world. So I absolutely enjoy it.
Awesome. And do they engage back with you? How is the engagement in return?
Absolutely. So we do a lot of interactive stuff. It's a lot of Q&A. I think what makes it so engaging, because a lot of teachers and principals, you know, when they see the presentation, they say, oh, my God, they were so engaged. And I said, well, I'm not really doing anything special. All I am is I'm speaking the same thing that you guys are saying. I'm just giving it to them in a language that they can understand. So I use a lot of references of things that they know. So it's one thing for me to say, one thing for a teacher to say, hey, you know, you got to come in here, you got to work hard. But if I say the same thing, but I give it to you in a language that's from a movie that you just seen, or a scene from Power, something that they probably shouldn't be watching, but they watch it anyway, then it makes it stick a little bit more. And you get that, what I call that voila moment, and they're like, oh, I get it now. So yeah, it's very, very engaging. I mean, we've laughed together, we've cried together, so we've done the whole nine.
You talk to all ages, right?
All ages. So elementary school, middle school, high school. I've done a few colleges. I'm looking to get a few more colleges involved in that. We just kind of did a new trend. We're going to be doing some staff, some students, some teachers and administrators. So that's something that we're also adding. So we just continue to keep adding. We just continue to keep building.
Definitely. So, Mike, I want to get into it a little bit deeper because today's show on Revive is called Getting to the Root, right? So what are some challenges that you may face when you go into these schools? Like, what is the ongoing challenge that you hear when you speak directly one-on-one to the youth and the kids that are in these schools?
Oh, man, we could be over here for the next 3 hours. So I'm going to condense it as much as possible. But I think what I said earlier, just the students, they're not being engaged. I think it's over every single year you have over 1 million plus students dropping out of high school, never to return. I think it comes up to like every 26 seconds a student is dropping out of school. And it's because that they don't see education as a way out, A. And then B, I would probably say, is that there's no connection for them to come to school. And so a lot of the schools that I do work in is Title I schools. So a lot of urban schools, a lot of schools in the hood. And if you grew up in the hood, sometimes you're looking at school and saying, yo, school don't even make sense. I don't even know why I'm here. You're getting a book and you're looking at algebra and chemistry and all these subjects. It's like, this is not a reflection of where it is that I come from. So A, it's hard if I don't understand it. And B, on top of that, you sitting in school and you absolutely bored out of your mind. What I found out is that probably I would say a lot of students, like, they're very intelligent. If you talk to them and sit down, I'll just say that there's no connection. So there's no carrot. So you can't tell a student, okay, when you get to college and get a college degree, then that's when your life starts. And I think that's the problem where we get it confused in education, where we hold this carrot all the way till they get to college. And a lot of these students, they're not even thinking about college. And so you can't hold the carrot all the way till the end. You have to put the carrot closer so they can say, okay, this seems like it's something that's going to be realistic. Now, on the other hand, we do have a lot of students that I probably would say that are lazy. I mean, it just happens. Average teenagers, teenagers are going to do what they're supposed to do. And then I think one of the things that doesn't get talked about enough is that students, not just the special needs, but I would say probably mental illnesses, certain behaviors that the students have that kind of go unnoticed. You look at a lot of these schools that are in urban places, I would say a lot of them, they're understaffed. And so the students are not able to get the proper services that they need. And unfortunately, I'm not a counselor. I know I can do a lot of things, but I'm just not a counselor. So it's sad to see that, some of the students that no matter how hard you try, that the school is just not equipped to be able to get them the services that they deserve.
Definitely. And that kind of leads to my next question as well. So do you think that young people have lack of interest or lack of access?
I think it comes down to both. It just depends. So I've worked in a couple of, I want to say suburban schools, where, test scores were up and the buildings were a little bit nice. But I think the challenges are basically the same. It's just from a different perspective. So, for example, if you grew up in the hood, sometimes, not all the time, you may grow up and it may just be a one parent household. And so let's say that the dad is not there. And so growing up, the dad is not there. So you don't have a man in the house, especially if you have a son, to teach your son responsibility. So the son can think that he can come to school and he could act a clown and he could just act out because he doesn't have a father at home that's present. And so as a result, that makes him not do what he's supposed to do in school. Meanwhile, if you're in the suburbs, you have a dad, he's a high-end provider, but he's always at work and he's never there. So you have two absentee dads, but it seems like sometimes in the hood that it just gets skewed a little bit differently. It has a different view to it, but it's still the same issue. So I think it's a little bit of both, that students are just not interested for whatever reason. And I try to tell teachers all the time that these students are different. Like, they're not students from 20 years ago. You can't just come into class and tell them, hey, you need to do X, Y, and Z. That's and true. I tell the teachers all the time, listen, I know that you got your little degree and all that, and I'm good with all that. You can do all the theory stuff, but it has to be a connection, and that's what's going to make students want to come and be engaged. I said it's a sin for students to come to school and be bored. So students are bored. They don't have a lack of interest and just the access. The school is always cutting back the budgets. Well, the government always cutting back the budgets and the state and all that. And so, you start going from having six counselors And now you got one counselor for 300 seniors, and, you know, maybe half are trying to go to college. So they just don't get the access. And as a result, a lot of them end up falling through the cracks. So, I mean, we definitely have our work cut out for us, but can't stop now.
Definitely. So now I want to know your opinion on something, Mike.
Yeah.
So I want to know, what is the most important and also what is the worst influence that someone can have on a child?
Let's start with the worst. Important.
Let's start with the worst. The worst influence and the most important influence that someone can have on a child. Let's start with the worst.
Oh, man, the worst. I would probably say the worst influence that I've seen, that me personally, I probably see the worst influence, man. It's a lot. I would say probably the worst influence is probably, you know, drugs. I probably would say, I mean, that's just the worst influence. I mean, you talking about, sometimes I come into a presentation and, you know, you can literally smell whatever drug that you want to choose, but you can literally, you know, smell it, whether it be drinking. Yeah, I know, drinking. You like drinking in the morning? Yeah, it's crazy. Drinking. You can smell marijuana. Whatever drug that you can think of, I think that's probably the worst influence, because, I mean, you're looking at students and you're like, bro, it's 8 o'clock in the morning. How are you high at 8 o'clock in the morning? And you just see the ripple effect that it has on it. And then, you know, I know for a fact, you know, where a lot of these students, you know, are going to be if they don't make a change. And I'm like, yo, if you don't get off these drugs, I could tell you where you probably going to be in a few years. And on top of that, not only the fact that you taking the drugs, on top of the fact you selling the drugs. And I'm like, yo, at least if you're going to do one or the other, be on one side. But now you putting a hole in your pocket because you getting high off your own supply, which don't make sense in the first place. Mm. So I think that's probably the number one thing I see, is that, man, the drugs, I'm talking about the drugs, like, you could go down the list of drugs. It's crazy. So I think that's probably the worst influence on students.
I agree with you on that one, definitely. And then the most important influence that you can have on a child, what would you say?
Oh, man. Just being a role model, I think, and just, you know, and just being there and being present. You can be present and not have a presence, if that makes sense. So I think, you know, being there, John Maxwell has a quote. He says that people don't care how much you know until they first know how much you care. And so I'm talking about when you see that you care. I mean, I done been to students' cousins' funerals who got shot and died. I done talked to students, you know, not just at an assembly, but away from the assembly, checked up on students, been able to provide money for students. I mean, I done went through the whole entire nine. And it's crazy because some of these students, you know, once they get a chance to trust you, they'll let you know, like, yo, you're the first person in my whole entire life, you know, that did something nice for me, or told me that they loved me, or that they actually cared about me, or looked out for me. So I think being that positive role model, and I get it, everybody has their own different way of being a role model, but being a positive role model, I mean, I think people don't understand the power that has. I wouldn't be here today if I didn't have a positive role model, the teacher, Mr. Sack. Shout out to Mr. Sack, who spoke into my life at an early age. So being that positive role model for our students, I think that's probably the biggest influence.
Definitely, definitely. I think everyone needs a role model, definitely, or a mentor, someone to help guide, you know, them in the right direction. Because if you don't know better, you won't do better. So you definitely need someone to help you along the way, definitely. Some people think they can do it on their own, but you definitely need somebody to help you, you know, to help you along the way, to help you, support you, whatever it may be. So I agree with you on that one, definitely, Mike. And then also, so today on Revive, we also was talking financial literacy with Tab Money earlier. Yeah. She came on with her first segment. How important do you think it is for the youth to learn about financial literacy?
Oh, it's as important as any subject that I believe, because, you know, if you don't know how to manage finances and growing up, you know, and this ain't a shot at nobody, but we just didn't like know this in school. And so, you know, our families, that's just not the type of family that, you know, I came from, where it was in my background, where we didn't have a whole bunch of people who was making all this money that could teach us money management skills. But I had a cousin who put a book in my hand, and I think that they probably should make this a part of every school. It's called Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And I'm talking about, it changed the way that I actually view money. And so I think a lot of times, you know, we have our students as a result, because every generation sometimes grows up in a poverty mindset. And if you don't teach your, you know, the students or the kids of how to deal with money, for example, you know, you're talking about education and taking out student loans, and, you know, should you take out a subsidized loan or unsubsidized loan? What's the interest rate going to be on that? Yeah, it may be good for you to take out this loan now, but 4 years from now, if you let the interest build, what is it going to be in 4 years? How much are you going to have to pay back? You know, you in school and college, you taking out a college, you taking out a refund check, not realizing that it really ain't a refund check. That's actually a loan that you got to pay back. And so, yeah, you in class and you got on Jordans, but them Jordans now in 4 years, you got to pay that money back. So it don't make sense. So definitely in starting them young, we have to start them out. I think that we got to start them really, really young. And maybe some small exercises, but just so they can understand the value of money. And then on the flip side, that money is not the end all be all. I think a lot of our students, yeah, they see, because they see it on TV, you know, they see it in the media that it's money, 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 money. But if you don't have a mindset, like, it's one thing to be able to make a lot of money, but it's another thing to be able to keep it. Anybody can make it. Like, you can hit the lottery. If you're 18 and in high school, you hit the lottery, you could be a millionaire. But if you've never been able to manage finances, you're going to be broke probably in 5 years. So I think money management is definitely important.
I agree with you right there. You're not going to know how to keep it. And a lot of us never know how to keep it. You know what I mean?
It's 4th of July. I'm still learning.
That's what I'm saying. But and people don't understand how much spending power African-Americans actually have. People think we're broke. I mean, we, you know, all of us have our own struggles, of course, but people really think that us as a population are broke. No, we have money. It's just how we're spending the money is the problem. You know what I mean? It's really how we're spending the money is the problem. But Mike, before I let you go today, I do have one last question for you. So sometimes this may seem to be controversial when it comes to religion and education. So by you being a minister and also being an educator, how do you combine the two together to make sure that you're getting your message across to the youth that you actually, you know, mentor and motivate each and every day?
Yeah, I think for me, I always say that, you know, wherever I go, because I know that there's different guidelines, you know, that you can't really, you know, as a matter of fact, you know, down south, you might be able to get away with it, you know, talking about God in school, but, you know, up here in the north, like, they don't play that. So, but I always say, yeah, right, they don't play that at all. But I always say that, you know, God is in my heart, you know. So I always say that the life that I live is better than any sermon that you'll probably ever hear. And so you're going to know that it's something different about me, you know, from the way that I walk, from the way that I talk, trying to be a person. I ain't perfect. I ain't saying I'm perfect, but trying to be a person of integrity, trying to be a person of character. This is what I always say. I always say this generation especially, they want something that's different. They get tired of seeing everybody doing the same thing. And so when I step into the classroom and I step into your world and I tell you, like, look, this is what you need to do. But on top of that, I show you, like, yo, I care. And then that kind of opens up the conversation. Now, we can have a conversation offline, like, you know, with us and the students, and, you know, that kind of sometimes opens up the door, and I'm very open. I share my faith. Now, I can't do it publicly, you know, in school, because they just don't allow that. But offline, you know, students ask me, you know, hey, you know, why do you act the way that you act? How do you carry yourself? I tell them, look, I don't make no mistakes about it. I don't hold no punches. But I think the life that I live and a lot of the principles that I give are from the actual Bible. So it's not like I'm saying something. I'm just putting it in a language where they can understand. So, for example, I always reference, if I give a biblical principle, I always say, you know, you're talking about karma. I always say, well, a favorite book that I read says, you shall reap what you sow. And everybody's like, oh, my God, that's the best quote I ever heard. I'm like, yeah. In my mind, I'm like, yeah, it's actually from the Bible. I don't know if you guys knew that or not. But so, yeah, so I think that you do have to be careful. But at the same time, I don't separate who I am as a person. So, you know, God, I'll be in the middle of a message talking, and God would say, look, Mike, I need you to say this. I need you to change up the whole entire message. And when I do that, I'm talking about a message that penetrates the heart, and they're crying. I'm like, all right, God, this is exactly what you wanted me to do. So I don't necessarily have to say God in a presentation, but after you leave, you go know, like, yo, this was not just a talk. This was something that was more, and that's what kind of opens up the gateway.
And I think that that's why people are loving your movement right now, Mike. You give people chill bumps every time you talk, Mike.
Praise God.
Yes, definitely. I appreciate you coming on the Revive platform tonight, Mike. If you can go ahead and tell the people a little bit how they can find you, where they can find your website, anything like that. Go ahead.
Yeah, so you can go on my website, check it out. If there's any administrators or anybody out there listen, if you want any of the services, you know, it's on the website, www.mikenelsonspeaks.com. On there also, you'll find a book that I wrote, very engaging book for students called Yes, You Can, 7 Keys to Student Success. And basically the book is about my ups and my downs through school, my frustrations with education, and how I was able to come from a 1.9 student, almost getting kicked out of college, to now, you know, graduating with a master's degree. Is literally the blueprint that I put together. And I'm saying, look, I ain't the brightest, you know, crayon in the crayon box. And if I'm able to do it, anybody else can do it. So that's on there. You can follow me on Twitter at Mike the Motivator. I'm on Instagram also as Mike the Motivator. I'm on Facebook too as Mike Nelson. And just for anybody out there who's ever listening, you know, students, man, I just want you guys to know that it's possible, that education is definitely a way out, that education can change your family. For all of the parents out there, listen, I know you might be a single mom, you might be a single dad, you may have a tough battle ahead, but trust me, it's going to be all worth it in the end, you know, when you can sit back and say, wow, I'm so glad that I put my kid in the position to be successful. So whoever's out there listening, look, have a great night. I appreciate you guys, man. Love you guys. Thank you for having me on the show, and I greatly, greatly appreciate it.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it, too. And Afia said what's up, too, as well.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good one. I appreciate you, Mike.
All right. Bye-bye.
And that wraps up another episode of Revive today. It's your girl, POC. Make sure you guys spread the word, spread the message that we are live each and every Wednesday, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., and each and every Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. We are not going to be live this Sunday, though, so definitely stay tuned. We are still going to play a pre-recorded episode so you guys can hear at the 11 o'clock hour. Make sure you guys go RSVP today. Make sure you guys go RSVP today to the Rhymes and Reasoning event that Revive is throwing this Saturday, July 15th. If you are in the DMV area, you better be there, because you know what time it is. It's me, your girl, POC. Once again, we will not be live this Sunday, but we are still going to play a pre-recorded episode for you guys starting at the 11 o'clock hour. Also, subscribe to the Revive newsletter right now. If you are still listening, scroll down right now, right under that blue button that you click to press play. It says subscribe. So make sure you guys subscribe to the Revive newsletter so you can stay on top of what's going on, current events, up and coming events, things like that. And also, Comments with Consciousness, I will be live at 7:30 a.m. tomorrow. It will be me, your girl, POC. Take your morning commute with me, definitely. Also, shout out to Harmony, the Goddess, and True Heart for always holding down the Revive platform. I appreciate everything you guys are doing to make sure that we are thriving each and every time we get on the airways, as well as Tab Money. Shout out to the newest edition of Revive, Tab Money Habits, yo. She dropped some gems today. She's going to come on the second and fourth Wednesday of each month. So get ready to have your pens and papers out every time she comes on. She's going to come on around 8:30 each and every time she gets on the airwaves. So make sure you guys stay tuned and follow us on Revive_POC on both Facebook and Twitter. You know what time it is. It's me, your girl, POC. I better see y'all in the DMV on Saturday at Rhymes and Reasonings with your girl, POC. You know what time it is.